Picking up the stream over here. Let me make sure this is working. Okay. It says the live stream is starting soon, but it should be broadcasting live.
I've got live.
The stream is not
appearing. Yep, I got live on the top.
This should be recorded. No telling what you're telling me there, Jim, because I can't hear you, and I've got the stream on. But oh, now it's coming. Okay, this is going to come to me in an echo. It must be a delay here. Yes. Okay. I am getting a delay on the stream, but anyway, I will be able to hear the hangout. So this is Vat Stevens. I'm in Aline, United Arab Emirates. I have Jim Buckingham here with me, and also Tony. Tony. I had the name here earlier. Okay, I hope that came out on the stream. So anyhow, this is the 23rd of August. Having a little bit of difficulties with Hangout at the moment. I seem to be able to broadcast sound, but I can't hear the sound on my own Hangout. So I started the stream, and I've got what people say on a delay over on another computer over here. This one right here is where the stream is appearing live. And so, anyway, Jim Buckingham is a good colleague of mine. Today I should just explain that he has an opportunity here to explain how he's setting up a professional development program that he's going to propose to TESOL Arabia at a retreat in a couple of weeks. And he's going to articulate why he thinks that this is a good thing to do. You give him a chance to present his case. And we're just right now just talking about it, just discussing it. So it's really kind of an informal discussion that we're having. It'll help Jim put his ideas together and help us all to learn more about this interesting initiative that Jim has come up with. So I'm going to hand it over to you guys. I'm going to pick you up on a delay here. But I'll let you talk. And if okay. I interject at an odd moment, that's because I've got delayed talk. So
no worries, man.
How are you doing?
Thank you. Okay, let me introduce the title for this project. Essentially, it's a goal for TESOL Arabia, at least I'm expecting it to become a goal shortly, and that is to provide professional development, workshops, tutorials, call it what you wish, that are delivered online. And the rationale for that is something I want to explain and share with people today. Essentially, it goes back, it all stems from a close examination of TESOL Arabia's mission. TESOL Arabia's mission is to provide professional development opportunities to EFL instructors within the Gulf, some would say even the MENA region. That's the Middle East and North Africa. We have EFL instructors that are members from all parts of those two regions. And in fact, we've even discovered that the numbers are increasing outside of the UAE, whereas the numbers within the UAE are staying relatively flat. It also occurred to not just myself, but a number of other people that right now, the level of interaction and the volume of that interaction with members that are outside the UAE is pretty limited, at least with anything that's formally organized by TESOL Arabia. It tends to be limited to the annual conference, which is usually staged in March of every year. Attendance is pretty good. It's consistently between 1,500 and even as high as 2,000 people. But we have noticed that an increasing number of those people are coming from outside of the UAE. And we've also heard from some of those people, anecdotally, that they would like to see more activity, more involvement, more opportunities for them to get involved with the organization outside of the conference. Okay, so there's the background. And then it occurred to those of us in the, at least a few of us in the TESOL Arabia EdTech SIG, the Education Technology Special Interest Group, that we could probably do a lot of this online. And what's made it more and more possible are a number of factors. Number one, the cost of doing it has been driven down to low to no cost, remarkably. And number two, more and more people within the Gulf and MENA regions are becoming connected. The cost of internet access is becoming less prohibitive. More and more people are finding ways to get online, especially those of the target audience, and that is EFL instructors. And thirdly is there's a growing acceptance to doing professional development online. I think we've seen that here in the UAE. We've noticed that the number of people that are getting involved in coming to face-to-face events is actually declining amongst those who are tertiary EFL instructors. But the demand seems to be, the demand for face-to-face is still there amongst elementary and secondary instructors. So that's in background. It's occurred to us that we could be delivering professional development for relatively low cost, no cost, and reach out to those members that are in other parts of the region. Okay, we're on top of that, we've learned that there's an organization of Arab instructors, Arab educators, called ABEGS. I only learned about this about 6 months ago. They've been actively looking for ways to do much the same thing. They had a meeting in March of this year with ISTE. And for those of us that are not familiar with ISTE, let me introduce it. It's the International Society for Technology and Education. I think I got that right. And these people have sent a representative over here and conducted a workshop with people from the various ministries of education in the Gulf. Surprisingly enough, with the exception of the UAE. So they've been working on trying to realize this. They're trying to reach out to their target audience, which is 1.3 million teachers in general in the MENA. And what they're going to do, or they're planning on doing, is delivering professional development online in Arabic. And ISTE is going to help them, so the plan is, with designing that material, designing those tutorials, so that they meet a certain standard that ISTE has been supporting. It's fairly well documented, well researched. ISTE is really big on promoting digital literacies, appropriate practice, best practices-based integration of technology into teaching in general. I found this out when I met a woman online by the name of Wendy Frisbee, who works for ISTE, and she spoke to me and filled me in on this, and I had it confirmed by a couple of faculty members here at Zayed University who have also been involved with ABEX. And they told me, the contact that I had within ZU, one contact within ZU to me about the details of that and filled me in that perhaps we're in a better position to realize this than they are. Now, I don't believe we're in any position to be reaching out to every teacher in the Gulf, in the MENA region, no. But reaching out to any EFL instructor, sure. And if others want to get in on it, that's fine too. But so there's the background. There's a little bit of politics in that. Yeah, but ultimately, I can really see this being a really, really good fit for addressing TESOL Arabia's needs of its mission. And it's now more and more possible because the tech is becoming less and less expensive. It's becoming more broadly accepted as a form of getting professional development. And it seems to me that the time is ripe for us to be pursuing professional development online. Now, I'll stop there. Any questions? I could go into more. No?
Well, let me just interject that I found the problem why I couldn't hear.
Good.
My computer was muted. Anyway, I finally saw that. Okay, so anyhow, yeah. So I was just at the ISTE conference in Philadelphia. It was my first one, actually. And I met a few of my heroes there. I was quite pleased at that. It's a really big conference. It caters a lot to K-12 educators, and it's got a big industry behind it. Conferences I'm used to in the education sector, especially in language teaching, don't attract that kind of corporate clout, I suppose. It seems that the exhibitions were quite interesting. There was quite a lot of on Minecraft there, and also 3D printers were very much in evidence, so there's just a lot of people doing things like that. They're definitely an interesting group of people. There's something called the K-12 Online Conference, actually. Are you familiar with K-12 Online Conference?
I've heard of it. I haven't been motivated to get involved with it because I've got too many other things on my list of things to do, and K-12 would not be as high a priority as perhaps other things.
But you're hooking into ISTE, which is the K-12, the people who are kind of movers and shakers in ISTE, the people who actually do a lot of the interesting development, have started in 2006, started the K-12 Online Conference. And it's a unique conference because it's not one that everybody meets synchronously. They actually meet asynchronously. So, for example, I did a presentation one time and I had to make a video. I had to figure out how I could set it up so that exactly what you're trying to do, and that is do flipped learning basically. You want to set up a presentation that other people will learn from, and they'll get your point when they watch it. So it's a presentation that's pretty much what you're talking about doing. Now, the interesting thing is this conference has been going since 2006. They're all archived and online. And those presentations, those artifacts that people put online to make their presentations are excellent models. Not only are they professional development efforts, but they're and people learn from watching them, but they're models, I think, in a way. So that just occurred to me as we were talking just now, that you might want to have that's the kind of thing that, especially since you're connecting with ISTE, and ISTE does have this set of models, might want to have a look at it. It's sort of the fact that it's K-12, don't let that throw you, because as far as technology is concerned, you could focus on language arts if you want, but just to give an example of one that. There's somebody who did. He went to a festival on Bondi Beach or something like that in Australia, and he it's digital storytelling. Basically, he's trying to make that experience as real as possible to people, and it's the tools that he uses. So he was emphasizing the tools that he's using to make this digital story, put it together. Another guy set up a movie theater in Second Life, and student projects would be filmed there, but the theater was there so that you could walk in anytime you want, and this ongoing cinema is moving through with student projects on it and stuff like that. So there's all kinds of innovative little things that people are doing.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm. It would not necessarily have to be ISTE, by the way, to have a set of standards that would support what we're doing. But I really feel that it's important to have whatever we do aligned with some sort of a standard. And I haven't spoken to that yet, and perhaps this is the time to do it. It's after the number of years that I've been in the Gulf, I've seen, and probably you have too, Vance, perhaps you have as well, Tony, I don't know how long you've been here, but there's a tendency amongst a lot of educators in the K-12 bracket to be seeking out these professional opportunities to earn a certificate as proof of professional development. So there's obviously some sort of motivation, probably not coming all the time from them, but from perhaps their supervisor or perhaps a directive coming from the Ministry of Education. It's something to look into, but I've certainly seen a pattern to it. And in getting people involved in these sorts of things, there's a sense that we may have more success in making a difference in people's professional development if whatever we do is well grounded, and which we could do without standards or without sort of any sort of alignment with any standards. But having those in place would have a double effect. It would support the design of our own work so that it's recognized and respected beyond just the few of us that would be creating it, but it should also be recognized and respected, I'm thinking, by professionals in the region. And I'm thinking not just EFL instructors, but administrators and educational leaders. So that's where I'm saying, looking into finding a set of standards that we can use to direct whatever it is we produce so that we gain some credibility. I also think it'll be a motivation for people to get on board to learn how to create online tutorials, to create online activities if they're grounded in these standards, and then people can be recognized for the work that they do, whether they stay in the region or they leave the region. So I see it as offering a win-win here. Win for the EFL instructor who has a chance to access this stuff and improve their professional practice, and also for those of us to get involved in producing these resources for EFL instructors in the region to access. So that, and I saw the work that ISTE had done with K-12. A lot of work, very active in promoting digital literacy. I've looked at the standards, very much promoting digital citizenship as well as digital literacy, and also grounding whatever is done on what are being dubbed 21st century skills. And I know that there's a broad support for this in the region. I certainly know it to be the case in the UAE, Saudi, and Qatar. I don't know about the others, but I'm assuming that they too would want to be on board with this. The fact that they're involved with ABEX, everyone but the UAE, is telling me that it's probably more than just the three that I mentioned. So that's where we're at.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Another interesting model for the K-12 online conference could be applied here. Suppose we had some sort of event where people would produce artifacts that would go into some sort of forum. Oh, my wife's phone just muted myself. And
okay.
She's in the other room, and she leaves her phone on really loud. So let me just hold my question for a minute, continue.
Sure.
I'll just mute. Oh, never mind. It cut off.
Okay.
Okay. So I was just thinking, what if there was some kind of event where we could invite participation, you know, a showcase, that you could enter the event, let's say it might be something 6 months from now. There should be some sort of carrot to it, you know. But because I think the points you make here are really kind of valid. I mean, I had a funding problem with one of my recent conferences because it seems that the person who should approve that thought it would be better if I didn't go to give information, but if I went and got a certificate, you know, for going to sit through something that, you know, would teach me something instead of my going out. But anyway, it's an interesting. But you're absolutely correct that certificates are something that are valuable. they're seen as valuable here, and in order to be in a position to present certificates, to give certificates, you really should have some sort of standard or some sort of accreditation or something, you know. So,
yeah.
So that's a good point. But,
this is not something that's new. It's a trend that's taking place in training and higher education as well, that the whole notion of providing credentials is being unbundled from colleges and universities. Colleges and universities are putting up a little bit of a fight about this, traditionalists, but there's a real push coming from business and associations to provide professional development that meets a standard that these organizations and businesses want to see. But they're not necessarily getting the support from colleges and universities. So we're starting to see the emergence of nonprofits, even like Cathedral Arabia, providing standards-based instruction, professional development, and rewarding it with a certificate. And what I could see happening here is building on the digital badges program that we set up over the last couple of years within TESOL Arabia as a means to recognizing somebody's accomplishments. So the actual design of it, Vance, there are any number of models that could be used for this. I really would like to see what you're suggesting there. I think it's a great idea. Some sort of a learning artifact that somebody produces as a result of doing the tutorial or as a result of doing the online workshop. And that artifact becomes something that can be shared with the learning community, the EFL instructors in the region, hopefully to encourage others to test it, and then over time we start to identify possible best practices. And then I think we're really doing what we should be doing, and as a professional development organization, we're encouraging sharing, encouraging learning, and we're encouraging professional practice.
What if it were a kind of a virtual poster session for the next TESOL Arabia conference, or for a chapter event even? Because as you mentioned, the attendance, if the attendance at conference is going down, or there's more, or on the flip side, if there's more interest in online development, then you and I have both promoted over time and seen a little bit of impetus moving in the direction of making conferences more accessible to other people, and of course learning together has been going on since 2010, pretty much weekly. So we're we're probably the two people in TESOL Arabia who have done most, you know, to actually realize that idea.
Yep.
So So anyhow, it could be a component. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, these things could all be done, and in many cases, the more bang for the buck, the better. If it's possible to organize these sorts of things and get people excited or introduced to using technology to basically mediate discussion, sharing, and identifying best practices, all more power to us. We should be doing it. I still think, though, there's going to have to be it'll attract those who are more intrinsically motivated. I'm not sure it's going to get the K-12 teacher, EFL instructor, who is looking for what I would call the quick fix, the collection of activities, etc., but not necessarily contributing to, not there's not a culture of necessarily contributing to best practices or the like. I'm really hoping that if we set up something, and it's really early innings, we're talking about designing something here that's fairly new, pretty fresh for the region, and we'll have to live and learn as we go here. But having it standards-based will really be important, I think, to give it validity and credibility.
Can I pitch in with my thoughts at this point? To answer one of your earlier questions, I've got 21 years experience in Oman. I've been not in agreeing with everything you've been saying. A few observations, and this comes from both my recent experience of TESOL Arabia and also of doing the doctorate, where I thought I knew nearly everything after 30 years and found that there was tons still to learn. And I happily say that in any session I do, to the gasps of people who've only been teaching for 2 or 3 years. One thing about TESOL Arabia is I think innovation like we are talking about needs to get lost. It's already a very big program. I mean, it's not nearly as big as some conferences. However, if you're trying to do something very innovative, it would be a pity if it just got buried with another 30 sessions going on simultaneously. So I think there would need to be some thought there about singling that type of innovation that we're talking about and getting it out of the pack. As you already said, the face-to-face numbers are going down. So the idea of asking people to go to the Emirates, I'm talking about coming from Muscat, for example, on top of going to TESOL Arabia is probably not realizable. TESOL Arabia would be the showcase, but perhaps try and think of a way in which particular focus was given to this. If we'd like it to be widely disseminated as an idea. Other ideas for disseminating all the potential work and hopefully good work that we and lots of other colleagues in TESOL Arabia will be doing to produce PD online courses will be to link it to people who are already out there and whose job is or should be to tell people what's going on. Now I'm thinking British Council, and they run certificate and diploma courses, and indeed widen that out to teacher training institutions in the MENA area, around the world, however big or small you wanted to make it. If somebody's doing a CELTA course, I think they should be made aware at some point in their CELTA course or towards the end of it that we've done this, that, and the other. You want to know about how to make materials? Well, there's a PD online course. You just go to TESOL Arabia and get the link. So I think dissemination is a huge problem because I didn't know about learning together, which we're now on. I didn't know about this until I met Jim in TESOL Arabia this year. I've been out here 21 years, and you've been running this for, is it 10 years now? Five, six years.
Learning together, a wider thing that we've been doing for about 15 years, yes.
Sure, but I didn't know about it. I'm supposed to be a professional with many years' experience and interest and so on, and I never heard anybody in the British Council in Muscat or anybody else that I meet mention it either. So I think dissemination is a huge issue which needs to be addressed for all the good work that we could be putting in the future for it to work and to reach a large number of people. We're sort of talking sales and marketing here, if you like.
Yeah, but
that's
true.
Yeah, that's my immediate thought, really.
This is probably a good time for me to share with you what Mindy Frisbee shared with me, and her supervisors shared with me indirectly. Because the ministries of education in the Gulf, at least, are doing or aiming to do something similar to this, she felt that there were opportunities to cross-market. If they knew that we were doing something that was standards-based, also on ISTE, based on ISTE, the same ISTE standards, that we may be able to, they would be happy to see something like this available potentially to their EFL instructors that work within the various ministries. And the fact that it's being made available potentially for free should make it very, very easy to market, cross-market. I thought that was a really good point. And that makes it also attractive to to go with ISTE and to learn more about ABEX, how they're progressing.
Mm-hmm.
Which, interestingly enough, I got all kinds of... I felt like I was a suitor at a wedding or something, or somebody was aimed to just their sudden interest in what I was proposing. I mean, we haven't even started on this thing, but it was a definite attempt to woo me and our involvement in what was going on there, only to find out, with a little bit of digging, that because of the politics, that this is really getting bogged down. And from my contact at ZU and from Mindy, I learned that because we don't have a lot of the encumbrances that they do, are in a better position to probably realize this than them.
Yeah, are you going to talk about Caroline Sikora, was it?
Yes, Caroline
Sikora. She comes from a different accreditation authority, doesn't she?
I don't know, but she's working for
all the acronyms.
She works
for ISTE.
Yeah, she's the one that came over here to conduct a weekend workshop with representatives from the various ministries of education in the Gulf region, from all of them except the UAE.
Right. So that was ISTE.
Yeah, that was with ISTE. And they're the ones that are moving forward with, or trying to move forward with, translating all of the documentation from English into Arabic, and then hoping to run these workshops. And I'm not sure what the methodology will be. Probably the classic cascade training model. Train a few, and then those few go off and train a few more. But I don't know.
The other point that you raised earlier, I'd like to come on to, is accreditation. And I think at least here in Oman, to do a course and get a certificate which is recognized by a national authority is good, international much better. So if it's an international accreditation body like ISTE that's involved, I think that's very positive. You mentioned the badges, and that occurred to me, and I've seen the badges from your session and from one of your colleagues, who I don't remember now, a lady, who gave a session on badges at TESOL Arabia. And that's good, but at the moment I feel the badges, very few people know about them. That might start to take off more in the future, but certainly accreditation is something that teachers look for. I'm about to be involved in more professional development, but the feeling here amongst a number of teachers is, well, I'm only going to get involved in it if there's some seriously good-looking certificate at the end of it. So accreditation, yes, somebody's name at the top of a certificate, very good. Badges might come online later, I feel, but at the moment I don't think there's more than 10 people in Muscat who know what badges are.
Yep.
So that has to be taken into account, I think.
Yeah, it's early innings for digital badges too, very much.
Well, one big hurdle is the fact that we're talking really about a model of learning and education that's very traditional, and you know, the fact that you it's kind of sad in a way, but there are a lot of people who, as Tony's pointed out, that will work for something that has a certificate at the end, and they're doing the sit and get model of professional development, which is basically it's not really the model of learning that people who are passionate about learning are, like we are. You know, we just do this. I guess I do. I could say I don't really care, but it's not my motivation. I don't care that it's not mentioned at the British Council. I do have a lot of colleagues at the British Council, at British Councils across the globe, who work with us through Webheads, for example, you know, there's a wide network of such impassioned people. So, I think the model of learning that we need to promote is one that draws on that passion, because probably those people who have this idea of professional development as being something that you need a certificate for actually are impassioned teachers, and they probably know something about teaching and learning. In their own classes, they're obviously promoting learning. You know, you can't say that the people in our profession don't teach properly. It's just that they don't really know how to translate, do the professional development in the way they might really like to teach. Mm-hmm. And so one thing that TESOL Arabia, there's always been resistance in TESOL Arabia, both at the chapter level and at the conference level, of having any kind of online component.
That's true.
What was your
that
comment,
has
Jim?
Significantly.
I think it probably has, or it will in any event. But that's kind of where it starts. You know, that's the model of learning. We're looking at the flipped model, the fact that people can go online and get their professional development. And I think what you're talking about seems to tie into that, and doing it right. You're talking about doing it the right way from the start. But I would think that if there were some online component to the chapter events and to, because there's Tony in Muscat, obviously he's been up to Dubai and been to some TESOL conferences there. We'll have to make a point to meet next time you're in Dubai. In any event, you will travel, but you would prefer to be there rather than getting it online. But there are a lot of people. I mean, IATEL is a good model because they've been doing this for some years. Not everybody can go to the conference, but there is a healthy online component to IATEL that's been developed over the years. They're pretty much streaming all their plenaries now, and they've got a network of people. And ISTE is another one too that is really big on virtual attendance, components to what it does, and also physical attendance. Those two don't necessarily compete with each other. They they build on one another. They support one another. You widen your network if you reach to people online, and they're not really ripping you off. You know, they're contributing because they're inputting as well as taking out.
I don't want to give you the impression either that it need be completely online either. It's very, very advantageous to do a blended approach. And there's been, I've mentioned this to people within TESOL Arabia, and there's receptivity to it. So it may be possible, very, very possible for us to perhaps have an online component that leads up to a weekend conference at some place, perhaps in Muscat or in Qatar. Or it could be done the other way around. There's a group of people that get together, they meet face-to-face, and they follow it up with online discussions. There's an online component to support the face-to-face afterwards. Or it can be done a combination of both of those, where there's a before online component, then face-to-face, followed by an online component. In either case, we're really talking about really trying to mediate the concept of mediate using technology the concept of having a learning community, and just inviting people to get together, come together because they have a common interest in a topic that need not be face-to-face initially. It could be done online, or it could be done following it. I've seen conferences have emerged in the States that have used this model, and with very, very positive feedback. People are really receptive to the idea of having an online component before a conference where a group of people that are interested in a given topic come up with issues that relate to that topic, and they actually actively go out and seek presenters to present face-to-face at a conference that will speak on an issue that's emerged from the group.
And well, look at Electronic Village Online.
Yeah, definitely.
That's the model.
You could take that and face to face, huh?
Yeah, it started in 2002 as purposely a 6-week session, 6 weeks people coming online for the purpose of having that come, you know, going to the conference and doing that face to face. And so that's perpetuated now since 2002. So we're talking 10, 12 years.
You've done a great job with that.
Mm-hmm. My
yeah, go ahead, Tony.
Just before this session, I sent an email off to Mick King, who's state coordinator, and I think that's another area where TESOL 6 can do work before conferences. They can. I would imagine that each SIG would hopefully be interested in having their own PD online courses in the future. And that would be a combination, as indeed I had thought about already, for a new materials writer's SIG, which is what I was emailing Mick King about, was getting some face-to-face and then online, having both of those potentially influence what happens at a TESOL Arabia conference in terms of 1, 2, 3 sessions covering materials development, which comes out of what people are saying in the SIG. Yeah, that seems eminently sensible, doable, professional, engaging, collaborative, you know, all the buzzwords that you would like to have, really.
Yeah, the issue, though, is we've got people are into a pattern in the way that they do things, and we're talking about suggesting a break in the pattern and organizing chapter events. And we've got a real issue. I even believe it's reaching a crisis point, if I can be candid with you, gentlemen, that TESOL Arabia is looking for a way to reinvent itself. The pattern in which it's going about, and I'm speaking just from my own perspective here, and I've tried to speak up about this and probably will in 2 weeks' time at the retreat on the same matter. There's a real need to get people more actively involved in the organization. And if they don't, it will basically lose its, it has the potential to lose its purpose, who it's delivering to, who's its audience, and who's going to do the work. How are people going to be motivated to do that work if you're just expecting such and such to do it? There's definitely a need for a rethink about how the organization is going to survive. We're talking about strategic, basic strategic planning. So those ideas are great ones. I'm going to bring them up. You know.
Well, I think you take baby steps like what we're doing now. You know, Tony has just become aware that Learning Together exists. It's existed for what 5 years now, but I see that as being a step in the right direction, and if you take those steps and you ingrain them and you model them, and they're successful models, if they become successful models, then they will have an effect. You know, people will see that is an alternative way of doing things, but they don't happen right away. You know, so so say it takes something like Electronic Village Online, which is just something that's like, you know, been going for 13 years. I just did the math. It's a model, again, a model that really works, and it feeds into a whole segment of the TESOL, the annual International TESOL conference. There's just a lot of people there who pick up on that model. And in the same way we were talking about K-12 and the kinds of things that you're proposing people do, I don't know if you've really articulated exactly what you have in mind that people would be producing, sort of talking around the issue.
I don't think we're there yet. I really don't.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think it's going to come out of the group of us that are interested in making this happen. We're going to have a group discussion. I don't feel it's appropriate for me to autocratically dictate what that should look like. I really want to see some consensus emerge from this so that we can all be on board. That's the ideal for me. I mean, take a while.
And one kind of disappointing thing about TESOL Arabia and the TESOL Arabia EdTech SIG is, you know, Jim started a NING some time ago. since Learning Together has started, or you know, maybe not since it started, but since we started working together on this, I post announcements of these meetings at that EdTechSig. I don't know if people, it hardly ever draws any kind of a crowd from Tithal, yeah, Arabia. But it does draw internationally. You know, sometimes we're full. You know, we have, there are 10 people allowed here, and often we have people in the chat wing. There's nobody there at the moment. I see there's, oh, there's one viewer. We do have a viewer. Welcome, viewer, whoever you are. Please introduce yourself at chatwing.com/VNCSTEV. Or I wonder if that viewer could be me, since I had the stream going, but I stopped that. But anyway, you never know. Anyhow, because I really like what, obviously, I like this way of working, and it also feeds into my professional life in so many ways, because I do blended learning in my work with my students, and it helps me to understand how to connect with other educators, how to connect with my students, how to make things clear to people, what I'm trying to do, what they need to do, you know, that sort of thing. So, you know, perhaps we could, what if the TA EdTech SIG was sort of purposed, repurposed for, I mean, I'm talking about the NEEM, what if it were repurposed for this, because no one else is using it for anything else, so that would be, yeah, a, but how do you find a place that people will come together in an online space to discuss these things? Because, you know, I don't think the mailing lists are really sexy enough, you know, and they're not social. And we need, you need to actually be social, and Tony's talking about getting the word out. There has to be a social network. So,
well, I'm thinking, mm-hmm, I'm thinking the blended approach comes in here. It's having events that take place face-to-face that generate a lot of interest, and rather than being a flash in a pan, happening for a half an hour, 45 minutes, and then be gone, that showing people that it doesn't have to end there, that, and that there should be, I'd like to see these presentations end with some sort of a, an activity that people present that's based on what it is they've learned, produce an artifact, and have a chance to share it, discuss it online afterwards. That, to me, would seem a natural thing for people to do, to get them more involved with well, seeing that the tech can be used to mediate that, make it possible. And that might open the door.
And I think that's really important to attract people, is that you do something that if you put it online, it's there and people can view it one time, 10 times, any time they want to. And it's practical, that they watch it and they say, that looks good, I'm going to try that in a class tomorrow. I think that's the single most attractive thing about professional development, is if teachers feel they've got something they can use this week. Not so much the research and the big background picture to education. They're important too, and they can be included at certain stages, but I think at the same point it's what can I go online and have an hour with, and then I can change some of my classrooms. That I think really appeals to teachers.
Yep.
Here's something that I've been involved, like at the ISTE conference, for example. I've got three colleagues. Their names are Danny, Neri, and Ellen. And we've been going to conferences and putting on these kind of, showing people how to use iPads and how to, you know, and what we've been doing when we do it, we set up a Google Plus community. And then we try to get the people, we try to find out who the people are, get the list of email addresses and email people and have them join the Google Plus community. We put our stuff online before we go. It doesn't really gel too much with people who are going to these face-to-face conferences. They're not really looking for an online experience before they get there. Hello? We've got a visitor?
Yeah, okay. I'm not sure who it is. Uh-huh. It's okay. It's just we frightened him.
Okay, well, maybe he's having the VPN connectivity problem here in the UAE. But in any event, so as I was saying, okay, so we do have this experience with trying to get communities together and then going and having them do things that we try to get them involved in. All our sessions are all hands-on, by the way. We break up into small groups, and we sort of rotate the people through our groups. Now, carry that to another context. This, the same group have been kind of invited to go up to someplace in Dubai, a training institute, and do this for a bunch of for teachers who apparently aren't very tech savvy. They're not actually going to provide them computers, but they're expecting them to bring their own devices. We're supposed to go there, and the request was to give them some theory. Okay, and what we're looking for is to make a difference. What you were just talking about, the getting them to, what can I do with what you go there in my classroom? You know, what can I actually take to my classroom? That's just not going to happen. And this, if we're invited up to spend an afternoon with them or a morning, it's just not going to happen. You know, they're not, they don't have the mental set for it. You know, so they're actually, they don't have the, they don't know how to, what the mindset is required. And the only way to do that would be to prepare something beforehand, get them involved, get them socially networked with one another, and then go there. That might work, you know, but what they're asking for is, okay, we'll get some consultants with suits and bring them up and then put them with the attendees and expect something to happen.
Yeah, the magic of the expert.
Yeah, it's the definition of insanity. Yeah, go ahead.
The other thing about that is it is the classic where people will sit in your sessions, you're the expert, and perhaps they already know it. It's not relevant to them. It's impossible for them to use for any number of reasons. And therefore, that is a definition of madness, really, and a complete waste of time and money, as opposed to pre-preparing, as you say, but also collaborating with them, negotiating with them. I mean, I've literally just done a presentation ready for a conference down here in Oman, negotiating with learners, negotiating with teachers. What are some key things that you would like us as consultants to cover when we come up and see you? This is being done, but I'm not sure it's very widespread that instead of you top down, come in, paid by the ministry, you're the expert on what they need. You don't know what they need. Why don't we ask them what they need? So in that particular, and I think that feeds back into the idea of SIGs with TESOL Arabia. If you've got a SIG saying, people in a SIG saying, we just don't get enough of this, or don't give us that. We've had that endlessly. Involving the customer, I think, is a key component these days for professional development. We don't do it at our peril.
We've got the tools to do it. It's so easy to do now. Everybody who signs up for TESOL Arabia as a member is giving up, surrendering their email address. I mean, it should be pretty. And then they tell me which SIG they're interested in. So we immediately identify what their interests are to some extent, and then we've got a target group. We can send out a survey about what are the current issues, what are the current problems you're dealing with that are tech-related. Why did you join the SIG? Bingo, presto, all kinds of data to work with to set the work on designing more meaningful face-to-face or online or any kind of presentation. I agree.
Yep.
Absolutely. And Nick's got me looking at the SIG handbook, and I think that's actually going to be something I'm going to suggest be included in it, is this notion of being of assessing need. It's nowhere there right now. It's your typical dry. Some stuff is important. It's admin stuff, but just really sitting down and thinking about how to make your whatever it is more meaningful, more purposeful, more useful. No, that's absolutely right on.
Question for Tony Waterman there. You said you were giving presentations about negotiating with learners beforehand, something not just a needs analysis, which maybe Jim is kind of thinking, you know, you survey people and you do a needs analysis, but how are you expanding that to negotiating with learners, actually negotiating the needs analysis? In other words, not just asking them one time, but actually negotiating. How do you do that?
From negotiating materials, that's what I was alluding to as the session I'm going to do in November, as opposed to the needs analysis. Needs analysis is, as we know, a huge area. As opposed to asking your learners something very simple. We've got the next page in the book is sports. Which sports should we talk about? Which sports should we focus on? So that we get rid of all the sports that the learners have no connection with. They've never seen them. They can't do them. They don't do them. They don't want to do them. Why are we involving them in things that they're not the least bit interested in, not relevant, and so on? That's the key thrust of that particular presentation. And I've done presentations covering both a single, that's a single worksheet essentially in a class, as opposed to negotiating mini courses where all of the input comes from the learners. My point, but why not do that with teachers and PD? You have to have a certain element which is like core units, if you like, as they do on master's courses and so on, that need to be covered. But there's an awful lot of negotiation with particular groups of teachers.
Well, you know, I hope that you'll consider coming online and talking over some of your presentations with us one Sunday. We have an infinity of them ahead of us. We'd certainly appreciate that and continue the discussion going. But, yeah, why not? Because this is what we do. We don't – actually, I really like my niche. This niche is not just having people do presentations here, but to engage those people. So when we do have like we had Philip Hubbard last week, when I get Kurt Bonk on or somebody like that, you know, we try to talk to them, and Kurt is really good about that. Like one time we talked to him for a whole hour, and then he said, "Oh, don't you want to hear my presentation?" And then he had us for another hour. He's doing another hour with us, going through all these slides kind of fast, as it turned out. Anyway, that's the kind of people. That's the kind of things we like to do. That's the niche for learning together. It's not.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Set presentation.
I pop in. It's been fun. It's been good. And it builds a bit of an online community. I'm not on it enough, but I'm sure you've gotten to know a lot of people over the years, Vance. I've seen it. I mean, you go travel and you're visiting these people that you met virtually for umpteen years, and they invite you to their homes in Spain or Argentina or whatever. It's fantastic.
Incredible. Right, I'm on.
I don't know if Tony knows about WebHeads. Do you know anything about WebHeads, Tony?
No.
Okay. Well, that's actually where it started in 2002. It was an EVO session that I had been doing online work with students, experimenting, like from 1998, experimenting with engaging students and just teaching language, getting students together to practice language with one another. Mm. And that attracted a lot of teachers. Voice over internet was just coming out at that time, and we were on the ground floor. It attracted people, got me invited to be featured speaker at TESOL conferences, and I'd get the students up on the screen and bring them into the conference, and people were fascinated with that kind of thing at the time because it was pretty novel. Mm. But in any event, the idea to teach this to teachers, to model this to teachers, I did an EVO session in the second year that Electronic Village Online existed. And I don't know if you've heard of Electronic Village Online before. This is you go to EVO sessions. Yes, evosessions.pbworks.com, and it happens every January, February. But it actually starts happening soon because people have to put in their proposals. We've got probably about a dozen sessions, people who really go through a training program and present these online sessions from January, February. So I was in on the second year and did one called WebHeads in Action, because that was the name of this. The student group was writing for WebHeads, is what it was called. So WebHeads in Action is a community practice now that is still going strong. We still have a mailing list. The people interact and communicate with each other quite a bit, and learning together was actually 8 years into WebEds in Action was something that I started doing because we were meeting informally weekly since 1998 on a Sunday, but those events kind of took the, I don't know, they were just, they weren't really zesty enough. I had to reinvent it, so I made learning together. I've enjoyed it a lot more personally. It's kind of in a way gotten away from WebEds as a trademark or whatever, but it involves a lot of the same people, and these networks, you know, come together and connect. And as you say, you know, we just meet a lot of people. I think Bronwyn Stuckey is going to come talk to us next week. I don't know if you know Bronwyn Stuckey. She's doing something. She likes games. Actually, I saw her at the ISTE conference, and she was helping out with the Minecraft, which was my last EVO session. I'm trying to train teachers in Minecraft. And here again, this is something I've given presentations on. I could talk for an hour about this, but basically, in essence, if you want the one-sentence elevator approach to describing the Minecraft session, is it was something I wanted to learn about. So I offered, or I proposed, to do an EVO session on it. Now, people who give EVO sessions should be experts at what they do. That's the idea. But instead, I took it. I flipped that. I wanted to learn, so in setting up an EVO session, I attracted experts. And then we went into Minecraft, and we started learning about how to do Minecraft in Minecraft. Now, this is, here again, it's a model for your own professional development, you know, so that's where I'm at with EVO sessions right now, and learning together is just something I do. We're doing that Minecraft thing again because it was so much fun, and we've gotten better at it, so now we're actually becoming, not experts, but we still have the experts there, so, and we can learn from each other.
Sure.
But anyhow, that's where my approach is. That's my mindset, you know, as far as doing professional development. It has to be something that people do. And I like Jim's ideas because he's, you know, standards are important, yes, but getting in there and doing it, that's the main thing, you know, so you just need to get the clay and start working with it. So you don't want to put people off by saying, well, it's got to be to a standard, but you could be, as we suggested earlier, an event that people could contribute to, you know, a showcase or whatever, that, you know, here's your standard. What you do has to be, you know, has to fit this model, okay? And then you would get people doing it, and you'd also, things would blossom. You know, people, like the K-12 online conference, when people are put in a situation where I got to come up with something in 6 weeks' time, you know, you start figuring out how to put it together, and then all of a sudden you've got all these people modeling these really interesting ideas to one another that they kind of came up with in the course of preparing whatever it is you asked them to do. So,
so something has just occurred to me while you've been speaking, and I'll have to go soon because my dog is giving me dirty looks. We should be going for a walk before it's dark.
Okay. But we'll definitely have you back on.
Thank you. Anything that is produced online is there forever, but the problem is that people don't know it's there. And I just top of my head, and you may already have thought of doing this or have done it, a session where you've got, I don't know how many, 10, 15 laptops in a room, each showing different sessions from the past, and inviting people in to look, comment, you know, three, four chairs in front of each one. They watch the session, or they watch a key part of the session, because it would be too long if it was an hour session, and then they have their discussion about that. That just occurs to me as being something which is potentially very rewarding and could be very productive. And indeed, I have had my own students view a video of their own lesson and then get them talking about what they were doing and why they thought they were doing it as part of my research. The idea of people watching something, whatever it might be, and then commenting on it can be very productive in itself. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you're reaching potentially quite a big audience of people watching something. This would be all day if you could get a room with 15 laptops. I mean, I'm only just top of my head, but something like this might be a way of presenting what's going on online in TESOL Arabia to a wider audience, and you'll get the cascade effect.
There's something called speed geeking. Speed geeking, if you look it up in Wikipedia, it's an event with that kind of concept. You get 15, 5, mm-hmm. or 10, or 20 kiosks, basically, and then you give everybody, the people rotate around the room, you know, you ring a bell every 10 minutes, people present what they're going to do. So and we've taken that concept online as well. I guess we called it speed geeking, I don't know. Basically, one of the first things we did in Learning Together was we get people to, one idea was to come get people showing stuff, you know, going around from virtually different laptops, each person presenting something. We actually did it in Second Life one time. We had we went to Second Life to one person's build, and then we teleported everybody to the next person's, and we went around people showing off their favorite spaces in Second Life. Anyway, that's a nice concept. It can be done face-to-face in a physical place, a physical location, or it could be done also in a virtual space.
There's no blended or blended. Three of us here. This is good. Now it's a question of corralling it all so that we can get others on board. I'm a big believer in giving people, if we can, some sort of recognition that for sharing it, that encourages them to share. Vance, it's not a problem for you. You have no problem. You are intrinsically motivated. It's built into your DNA to share. I love it. It's great. How to nurture that from others. That's a real challenge, especially in this part of the world.
It's hard to do. It's hard to get it catalyzed. You know,
The concept of volunteering is fairly new here, not amongst expats, but I think amongst the culture of the region. Nurture it, and I think they're having some success with it. But it's as you said, it's not going to happen as an avalanche. It's going to be incremental.
But you've got to keep doing what you're doing and modeling it and making it stick, you know. By keeping doing it, you make it stick. It sticks.
Well, I still think there's an opportunity to take what you're doing right now and also invite the chance, the possibility for people to produce artifacts that could earn them something, some sort of recognition. That's where I think we could be throwing in. If they were ISTE-based standards, people may be more motivated to get involved, especially if they're going to be recognized, supported by the various ministries. And I think it's within the realm of possibilities here. We just have to believe too.
Tony is being very patient with us, and especially his dog is being very patient.
Dog.
So it's
dog, Tony.
Quarter after the hour, and we've had a very nice discussion, and maybe we could call it to a close if you're ready.
Yeah, that's great. I didn't expect to be on here this long. I'm going to blame you, Vance.
Yeah. Well, this is the one nice thing about virtual. We do make recordings. Recordings, if they sort of fall off the end, they're not interesting to people. But so, it's nice to encapsulate things in some way, but it's also nice to have a space where you don't really have to stop. They don't kick you out of the building. They're not locking the doors or anything like that. But anyhow, I don't know how the introduction went, but this is Learning Together, something we do every week. This is the 23rd of August. I always like in recordings to put a date there because 23rd of August, 2015, you never know who's going to be listening to these. So many people don't mention the dates. You don't know what you're listening to. We've got Tony Waterman here. From Oman. Where do you work in Oman, Tony?
The Royal Air Force.
I didn't hear that. Sorry.
The Royal Air Force of Oman.
Royal Air Force, okay.
I'm in their military.
I'm in Khalifa bin Zayed Air College, working for
okay.
HCT Cert. Okay, well, that's interesting. And Jim Buckingham, who is doing a lot of work in TESOL Arabia, at the chief innovator of TESOL Arabia, as far as we know. So that's, we haven't seen a lot of innovation. I don't know. I've got to be careful now.
We're Hang working on,
a minute. On it. That's not true. but Jim is definitely one of the innovative people there in the EdTech realm. And me, Vance Stevens,
Thank
here
you.
In Aline, UAE. And we wish you a very good evening. And Jim better feed his cat. Tony had better go walk his dog.
Yeah.
Thank
Tony,
you very much for joining us.
Okay. Great to see you. And we'll probably do a meeting similar to this in the future. Okay, Tony?
Yeah.
I'm getting anybody on board. I'm going to go fight funding for the something I didn't say. I'll just mention it. I'm fighting for funding to cover the cost of getting an online workshop from ISTE to guide us on how to produce standards, to produce tutorials or any sort of a resource so that it's ISTE compliant. Okay?
That will be an essential first step, really, yeah.
That's what I'm hoping. And I'm going, it's a fairly costly thing to ask for, but we'll find out at the retreat if I've had any success with it. But there is definitely a push towards us producing more and more online professional development. Stay tuned, folks.
Yeah. My cat is being very patient as well. He's just waiting for me to finish. Jim's is more in his face. Okay, well, thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate talking to you.
Night, Dan.
This will go up online at learningtogether.net. So if you... Tony, I'll send you the link so you can get the recording. I'll let you know more about the Learning Together program. It's at learningtogether.net.
Sorry? Say sorry to your dog.
Yep, okay. Good evening to you,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, good night.